But I'm telling you, if we will get the gist of what God is going to say to us today, and we will let it literally become a part of our life, I can promise you this. From this day forward, your life will never be the same. Because the principle I want to talk about today works. It works now, and it will work as we work our way toward eternity. Amen. Look in your Bibles today in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and verse 15. New King James Version, and just hold it there if you will. This morning I want to share with you on this thought. And as I was praying about how to approach this today, there were several different subject titles, several different things that rolled through my mind. But I felt this so strongly as how it needed to be presented. So I share with you today on this thought. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. I could say yes and amen and close the service out right there and go home, and you heard a message in the title. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive you. Thank you, musicians. There are many of you here this morning that are living in an emotional prison. Some of you are living in a place where you don't understand what's happening and you don't understand what's going on, and all kind of emotions are rising up and you don't realize what's happening. But listen to me. You're living in an emotional prison because you cannot forgive someone who has hurt you. Or on the flip side of that coin, you will not forgive someone who has offended you. Maybe it's the fact that you refuse to forgive. Maybe it's the fact that you've never really thought about or understood that you needed to forgive. But you're going through all kind of emotions and all kind of things in your life, and it stems back from a grudge or a bitterness or an anger or something that you have held in your life and you've never released and you've never gotten beyond it. Well, I want to give you a two-word sermon right here. Love forgives. Amen. Love forgives. I want you to hear this message today because your emotional life and perhaps your very soul hangs in the balances of what this message speaks of today. Now we go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, and it said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It is closely and very powerfully said. If you forgive, God will forgive. If you don't forgive, God won't forgive. Amen. And my prayer is today that you will see the power of forgiveness that Jesus taught in the Word of God, and that you will leave here living it, doing it, and practicing it. Amen. Forgiveness is something that ought to happen every day of our life. Because if you're really living life, there's going to be things that happen every day along the way. And we have to learn to live in forgiveness and let it be a part of our everyday life. Here's the first part. The first powerful thought of the text I read to you is this, and I have it in bold letters. Forgiveness is not optional. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness is not optional. Say it with me. Forgiveness is not optional. Lord, let that sink down into our spirit this morning. And then we look at Matthew 6, 14 again, but from the New Living Translation, and it said it like this. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. It doesn't get any plainer than that. It doesn't get any more real than that. So I'm saying to you very plainly today, because I love you with all of my heart, if you will not forgive, God will not forgive you. End of question, period, exclamation point. That is a very powerful thought. But let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I'll be reading the New King James, and it said, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Notice there again, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, but then he said, forgiving one another. There's a phrase in there that says forgiving. He wants us to understand you have to be willing to release others for what they have done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, New Living Translation. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. He gives us scripture after scripture, word after word throughout the Word of God that reminds us that we must forgive. We must release the offenses. There are those, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's those in this room, you're waiting for certain things to fall into place and certain things to be done, and you're waiting on them to do this and them to do that, when God is saying to you, you don't need to wait on somebody else. You got a man up, you got a woman up, and you got to do what God told you to do, and you have to forgive. You have to release. How did Jesus forgive us? And let me go back to the last part of that verse. He said, remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. So the question is, how did Jesus forgive you and I? Christ forgave you and me when we were in sin, when we did not deserve it. Let me take you back to a very powerful fact here. When Jesus forgave your sin, you didn't deserve it. When Jesus forgave me of my sin, I didn't deserve it. Now, some folks might have been lower down than others. Some folks might have been in deeper in sin than others. But let me remind you, the Bible said there is no big sin. There is no little sin. Sin is sin. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life. Jesus forgave us. And when he forgave us, we didn't deserve it. But he looked beyond what we deserved. And he saw the need of our life. He saw the need of our soul. He saw the wanting that was going on inside of us, and he loved us no matter where we were. He loved us no matter what we were doing. He loved us no matter where we found ourselves. He loved us anyway. And I thank God for the grace and the mercy of God that saves us no matter what. And that being said, let me say this to you while I'm here. It doesn't matter where you are in life right now, how deep you've gone in sin, how far away from God you've run, and how far away from God you may feel like you are right now. Can I tell you, he loves you enough that he's reaching out to you today. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry of my sin. And he'll reach down where you are, and he'll lift you out of that low place in your life, and he will show you his grace, his mercy, and his goodness. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 37 said, forgive and you will be forgiven. Now, it's going to sound like a broken record for just a moment or two, but stay with me. The message is very clear. If you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. That's got to sink into our spirit here today. There are 62 words in the New Testament that deals with forgiveness. Did you hear that? 62 words in the New Testament that deal with forgiveness. 22 times that word forgiveness means forgiving another person. So out of 62 times it's mentioned, 22 of those times is regarding forgiving somebody, releasing somebody, forgiving a debt, forgiving an offense. And can I tell you, without that, there is no forgiveness for you. If you cannot forgive offenses, and you cannot forgive debts, and you cannot forgive certain things that someone has done against you in your life, I want to say it very clearly. Without that, there's no forgiveness for you now, and there's no forgiveness for you ever. That's powerful, isn't it? That's strong, isn't it? If we can't forgive, we won't be forgiven. If, and you got to hear it, forgiveness is not optional. According to the word of God, it is not optional, but it's a command of God's word. I want to take you back to something I read last week that got my attention. An innocent woman was shot in the crossfire between two men. She became paralyzed by the injury, and later she stated this, I have not forgiven them yet, but I know I have to, because if I don't, God won't forgive me. That's powerful, isn't it? Her whole life is transformed by one action. I haven't forgiven them yet, but I know I got to, because if I don't, God's not going to release me. She understood two very important truths, and I want to point them out to you today. Number one, she understood that we must forgive to be forgiven. Jesus says it in a number of places throughout the Word of God. I'm going to be using the New Living Translation with these. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Mark 11 and 25, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. And then in Colossians 3:13 again, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone that offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And then he said in James chapter 2, verse 13, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. I want to back up and say that again. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you've been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. So when you show mercy, God will show mercy. So here's the next question for us. What is forgiveness? All right, Pastor, you told us we got to forgive. You told us it's not optional. You told us that if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. So what is forgiveness? Some people who have trouble with forgiveness, they think that forgiveness does not take the harm of sin seriously. Some people can't really get a hold of the fact of forgiveness because they don't understand the realness and the firmness of what it really is. But can I tell you, forgiveness does not, it takes it very seriously when someone has done a wrong. Forgiveness does not excuse sin, but real forgiveness calls sin sin, and in many ways it holds the sinner accountable for their actions. And it's not just sin we're talking about. It's deeds. It's things that have been said, things that have been done. It holds them accountable for the actions that they've made. Forgiveness says, you hurt me, but what you did was wrong, but I will not hold it against you. Now let me ask you a question here. Can you forgive? Some people say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how I've been hurt. You don't know what's been said. You don't know what's been done. You don't understand how deep the cut is and how deep the wounds are in my life. All I know is this. I don't understand the deepness of your hurt. I don't understand the deepness of where you are, because I haven't walked where you walk. But I do understand the grace of God, and I do understand the mercy of God, and I do understand the peace of God and the help of God and the strength of God. And I will tell you this, when you forgive, God will bring those things alive in your life, and it will change who you are, and it will change how you think. So let me go back to this. Forgiveness says, you hurt me, but what you did was wrong, but I will not hold it against you. I will not try to get back at you. I will not hate you for it. I'm going to ask a very personal question here. Are you carrying hate this morning? Are you carrying bitterness this morning? Are you angry at someone this morning? Forgiveness is hard. I don't want to make it sound like it's easy. Forgiveness is hard. It's difficult. It's a hard road to walk down. And I'm just going to be honest with you, it takes a real man, a real woman, boy or girl, to do it. We want to think that just anybody can forgive, but not just anybody can. You have to make up your mind. If you want to, you can. Forgiveness is hard. The other truth that this woman who was shot knew was that forgiveness is hard. Why? This woman, I want to finish that part of the story. This woman was athletic. She was a vibrant young woman before the bullet paralyzed her and literally changed her life forever. Now you think about it. One morning you're out jogging. You're having a great day. Everything's going well. You're exercising. You're just having the best time of your life. And the next day everything changes. The next day you're confined to a wheelchair. You're confined to a certain place for the rest of your life. Here's the question. How can somebody like that forgive something like that? How could this woman forgive these two men? Let me just tell you, it's not easy to give up our right to be hurt. Amen? It's not easy to give up our right to be angry. It's not easy to give up our right to want to get back at somebody or to hate somebody for what they've done in our life. It's not easy to give up that right. You may have had terrible things done to you by someone who loved you and someone you trusted. I want some people listen to me online. I want you to listen to me very closely right now. You may have terrible things done in your life by people that you loved and people you respected and people maybe you honored, and they hurt you and they broke your trust. You may have lost a great deal because of what somebody's done in your life. You may have lost a lot of things because of somebody else's action. And it may seem like something you can never get over. I want to preach to the reality this morning. It may seem like something you can never get past. It may seem like something you can never get over and you can never get beyond it. But please hear this preacher this morning. When God's grace comes into your life, it does not leave us as we are, but it changes us. When the grace of God comes into your life, it doesn't leave you in anger. It doesn't leave you in bitterness. It doesn't leave you in hurt. It doesn't leave you in these things, but it changes who you are. Let me just stop and tell you, you may think, well, I can never love again. You let God really fill your heart with His grace and mercy, you'll love again. You may say, well, I just can't let it go. I can't move on. If you'll let God fill you with His love and His mercy, you can move on beyond where you are. There's nothing that can hold you back. Amen. And I want you to hear this. One of the first changes that it makes when the strength of God, when the mercy of God, when His love and grace comes into your life, one of the first changes that it makes, it gives us the power to forgive. It gives us the power to release it. By forgiving others, we're proving that we have accepted God's forgiveness and that we're living in it. Can I give you the flip side of that coin? If we refuse to forgive those who harm us, we are showing that we have not really accepted God's grace in our life. Thus, it is removed from us. If we can't forgive, we can't walk in the grace of God. I got one amen on that. If we can't forgive, we can't live and walk in the grace of God. And let's talk about the real world for a minute. There's some people that have gone through such deep hurt, pain, and things in their life. It's so hard and so horrible they can't even speak of it. And you say, Pastor, how can someone like that forgive? How can someone like that release? Jesus Christ taught a love that forgives in the Lord's Prayer. He said, when you pray, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He said, when you're praying, that's the way you need to pray. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So how can you get beyond something like that? The only way you can do it is to let Jesus become the Lord of your life and let Him work through you. Now let me give you this. He taught us there to forgive and He taught us how to pray. But can I tell you the last moments of Jesus' life when He was on the cross at Calvary, He demonstrated this love. He demonstrated forgiveness. He demonstrated what it meant to release, for he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. None of us have ever gone through what Jesus went through. None of us have never gone through the torment or the pain or the agony that Jesus went through. But in the midst of it, he said, Father, forgive them. Someone says, well, he was God. But I want to remind you of a very important fact. When he was hanging on that cross, he was a man just like you and me. He was a human being just like you and I. He was just as human as we are when he was hanging upon that cross. But yet he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's what I love about that statement. Jesus was more concerned about them than he was about himself. He was more concerned about what was going on with them, that they might be saved, that they might be forgiven, that they might turn around, than he was what was happening to himself. But can I take it further? After the resurrection, he was still practicing this kind of forgiveness. For let me remind you that before Jesus died on the cross, Peter had denied Jesus three times. And in his denying Christ, he had literally separated himself from Jesus. But after the crucifixion, Jesus forgave Peter and basically let him know this. You cannot get far enough, but what the grace of God cannot reach out and get you. You cannot get far enough, but what the grace of God cannot reach where you are. And I want to say that to somebody in this room, and I want to say it to somebody online. You cannot get far enough in your life, low enough, deep enough, or far away enough that the grace of God cannot reach you where you are. God's grace can reach wherever we find ourselves. It's never too deep, never too long, never too far. Let me shift gears here for a moment. So we talked about we have to forgive, we have to release, we have to move on. Let's shift gears. There are some possibly here even today that Satan is whispering in your ear, your sin is too great to be forgiven. Your sin is too great to be forgiven. So let's look at the other side of forgiveness for a moment. I want you to know that God, the God we serve, he saves from the deepest of regret to the highest of hope. He saves from the deepest of regret to the highest of hope. He can save you where you are. He can save you like you are and give you a new beginning where you are. You've heard the old saying, people try to clean the fish before they catch them. I want to tell somebody in this room, if you're trying to get good enough to find Jesus and get saved, you're never going to get good enough. If you're trying to work it out and get everything right before you get saved, it's not going to happen. But it's when you get saved. It's when you accept Jesus Christ. It's when he becomes the Lord of your life. That's when everything starts getting right. That's when everything starts getting in order. That's when everything comes into alignment. But I want to say it one more time. He'll save you where you are, like you are. He'll reach to wherever you find yourself. He loves you that much. And I'm going to remind you of one other fact while I'm here. It's not my notes, but I'm going to give it to you. Did you know that Jesus would have died on the cross if it had just been for you? You ever stopped and thought about that? He died for all mankind, but if it had been need be, he would have died just for you. You ever had those people in your life that said, I'd take a bullet for you? I've had a few people say that along the way. Some of them I believed, some of them I didn't believe. Some of them I knew they'd be there, some of them I wasn't going to take my chances. But Jesus took the bullet for you. Whew. If need be, he would have done it just for you. So let's go back to the question. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is a full pardon. It's a fresh start. It's a new beginning. It's a lifting of burdens from your life. It's a lifting of heaviness of sin. It's a lifting of heaviness of weariness of life and heaviness of burdens that have been weighted down upon you because of what life has brought your way. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and it unlocks the handcuffs of hatred. Forgiveness relieves and removes resentment. and it will take hatred out of your life. Listen, forgiveness is the supernatural power that breaks the chains of bitterness. We are living in a world that's filled with bitterness. We're living in a world and a society where people are bitter everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, and the only answer we have is Jesus. Let me just say this to you. Forgiveness demands change. Forgiveness demands that you cannot stay the same. You cannot remain where you are. I want you to listen to this. Forgiveness is not soft-hearted, mush-mouthed foolishness. Amen. Contrary to what some people believe, it's not soft-hearted, mush-mouthed foolishness, but it is the truth of God's Word. When we walk in forgiveness, we will walk in freedom. When we walk in forgiveness, we will walk in peace. When we walk in forgiveness, we will walk in the joy of the Lord. Forgiveness is full of compassion, but it demands a change in your character. It's full of compassion, but it demands a change. When the Pharisees caught the woman in the act of adultery in the Word of God, they brought her before Jesus, telling him of the law of Moses and how the law said she should be stoned. They were trying to remind him of something he already knew. But then they messed up. They asked him a question. What do you say? Why don't you listen to me? The devil knows better than ask Jesus what he has to say. But they said, what do you say? This they were doing to try to tempt him, that they might have accused him of something. But I like what Jesus said. He said to her and he said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. In other words, if you're so righteous and you're so holy and you're so with it and you don't have any sin in your life, go ahead and pick up your stone. Go ahead and toss it at her. But I want you to hear this. They were so convicted by the statement that he made, they walked away and no accuser was left. But I like what Jesus went on to say. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I hold it against you. Go and sin no more. I want you to say this with me all across this room. Go and sin no more. Say it with me. Go and sin no more. You know what Jesus was telling her? He expected her to change. I'm forgiving you. I'm releasing you. It's over. It's final right now. But you got to live different. You got to act different. You got to be different. You got to go differently. Forgiveness is not earned. It is accepted. You are responsible. I want everybody in this room, listen to me. You are responsible. Right now, God is extending to each and every one of us His amazing grace. It will save you. It will heal you. It will forgive. It will give you the joy beyond measure in your life. But you are responsible to whether you will accept and receive it or not. He will heal you, but you're responsible for accepting it. He'll save you, but you're responsible for accepting it. He'll give you true joy, but you're responsible for accepting it. There may be some in this room, and God help this preacher right now. Won't you listen to me close? There may be some in this room right now that are playing the blame game. Let's just get real. And maybe some online, listen to me, you're playing the blame game. What do you mean, Pastor? I am like I am because someone abused me. You may be saying, I am like I am because God has forsaken me. Well, I'm going to stop and settle that one right here. God has never forsaken you. You may walk away from God, but God will never walk away from you. You may be saying, I am like I am because I haven't got what I wanted out of life, and it's frustrated me because nothing's changed. Can I give you some truth? Everything I've given you so far is truth, but can I give you some more truth? I want you to listen to me. The truth is we are like we are because we choose to be like we are. Let's just get real this morning. You're like you are because you choose to be like you are. You choose to be in the place you're in. It's your choice. Nobody else. Your choice. Forgiveness is not earned. It is accepted. Many religious people try to earn God's forgiveness by giving money to the church. Let me just say, thank God you give, but it will not buy your way into heaven. Thank God you give, but it will not get you one inch off the ground if the rapture takes place. Too many notice what I said. I didn't say God's people. I said religious people. You can be religious and die, go to hell. Amen? I said you can be religious and die and go to hell. But listen, too many religious people are doing some kind of, trying to do some kind of good work to get their way into heaven, to find their place with God. But God sent me by to tell you, and I got it in bold letters, your goodness will never gain you God's forgiveness. Your goodness will never gain you the forgiveness of God. Listen to this preacher. You are not forgiven because God loves you, even though he does. I'm going to mess some people up right here. Listen to me all the way through. You're not forgiven because God loves you, even though he does. You are not forgiven because you are sorry for your sin, even though that is a part of your forgiveness. You are not forgiven because you go about doing good things. You are forgiven for this one reason. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, went to the cross and he died for you. He shed his blood, and that shed blood demands that God the Father forgive you when you ask him. Now, do you see what I was saying? You're not forgiven just because. You're forgiven because the blood of Jesus Christ demands that God forgives you. And I want you to hear this. You have forgiveness through the blood. Therefore, when you look at the cross and you're looking at the very reason that God the Father must forgive you. But here's what I want you to get. Not only does God must forgive you, God wants to forgive you. God wants to release you. God wants to help you. God wants to change your life. So you have to understand again, why am I forgiven? Because Jesus loved me so much that he died for my sin. Why am I forgiven? Because God honors his word and God honors what he said. So therefore, when I come before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. Jesus, come into my heart. Can I tell you, it's at that point in place he will forgive you and release you and change your life. You can leave this place today. Hear me. You can leave this place today with a new song. You can leave this place with a changed life. I want to talk to somebody else. You can leave this place today with a new marriage. Pastor, our marriage has been on the rocks. Pastor, our marriage is, I just don't know what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. If you'll turn it over to Jesus, he'll turn it all around. I can promise you he'll make you fall in love with each other again. I can promise you he'll make you cherish one another again. I can promise you this, he'll make you think that your partner is the best thing that ever happened to you again. I don't care what the devil's told you. I don't care what life's told you. I don't care what the world's tried to tell you. I don't care what the world's tried to make you believe or try to make you understand. But I want to tell you something, he can turn your marriage around. Now let's go a little bit further. You can leave here today with new relationships, but I like this. You can leave here with new hope in your life. Nothing is impossible through Jesus Christ. Now before I come to a close shortly, let me take it back to where we started. Listen close. If you don't have to beg God to forgive you, a God who is perfect. Listen. If we don't have to beg a God who is perfect to forgive us, why is it that we who are imperfect have such a hard time forgiving other people? Why is it so hard for us to forgive? Let me just say this to you. It may not be easy, but you have to take the initiative. Are you listening to me? You have to take the initiative. You have to go to someone. You have to take action. You have to get it resolved. And I'm going to say it again. You can't wait on somebody else. Let me back it up here. God's forgiveness does not wait for repentance. It initiates and calls out repentance by offering forgiveness. Did you hear that? His forgiveness does not wait for repentance, but it initiates the call out for repentance by offering forgiveness. He offers forgiveness before you ever think about repenting. But at your repentance, forgiveness comes. So what does that say to us? You cannot wait for somebody else to repent or ask forgiveness. You have to offer forgiveness first. I read a little story. I wasn't going to share it with you, but I read a little story, and we'll just say it like this, about a husband and a wife who got in an argument one evening over the supper. They got in an argument over supper. Isn't that something silly to fight about? But the argument got so heated that that night they slept in separate bedrooms. I read on as it told, they slept in separate bedrooms for years from that one incident. And every single night when they went to their room, each one was hoping that the other one would come and say, I'm sorry. And it went on for years because nobody would take the initiative. Nobody would make the move. Nobody would say, I'm wrong. Nobody would say, please forgive me. Nobody would say, I'm sorry. They kept carrying it. You cannot wait for somebody else to repent or ask for forgiveness. You have to forgive. Let me take you back to that two-word sermon. Love forgives. Sermon in itself. Love forgives. A man is not great because he can find fault. A man is great because he has the grace enough to forgive. He's not great because he can find fault in another. He's great because he can find the grace to release, to let go, and to forgive somebody. I'm sure there are many in this room today. You need to forgive for your own healing. You need to forgive for your own peace of mind and your peace with God. You need to forgive for the restoration of the relationships of your life. And those things can't happen till you forgive. Those things cannot take place till you forgive. Remember this, the love of God forgives. We must walk in the love of God. Listen to the verse that said, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is an act of faith. Listen to me. One writer said, at last I understand in the final analysis, forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I'm trusting that God is better at justice than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave in God's hands the scales that must balance justice and mercy. What is that saying to us? Forgiveness is an act of faith because we are saying if there's any punishment that is needed or any giving of mercy, God will take care of it. If there's any punishment, any giving of mercy, God will handle it. I just got to forgive. I want to close with this. I want to ask you to stand to your feet with me all across this room. If you've heard nothing else I've said in this house today, I want you to listen to me very closely right now. Some of you cannot move on spiritually because you cannot forgive. You can't harbor things in your heart and go further with God. I said, you can't harbor things in your spirit and go further with God. You can't harbor things deep down inside of you and go where God wants you to go. Listen, some of you can't move on spiritually because you can't forgive. You'll never move forward until you do. Here's the reality. You must forgive and release it. You can't move on with God if you're carrying aught against someone in your life. Let's go a little further with it. Some of you are holding on to things you did not realize you were holding on to. Some of you are holding a tight grip on some things in your life that you don't even know you're holding on to, but it's there. Some of you have been trying to desperately reach certain places spiritually, but you have not been able to get there. Could it be that you're holding on to some deep-seated things in your life that will not let you move further? Here's the problem with that. Some people are harboring things they don't even know they're harboring, but yet they don't understand why they can't get where God wants them to go. I'm going to get real with you. There's people all throughout this room who are dealing with what I just spoke of. You are stunted in your growth with God. You are stunted in your place with the Lord because something has happened along the way and you don't realize that there's resentment in you. You don't realize that there's you're harboring feelings inside of you that have been there that you did not know they were there. But my prayer has been today, God, wake up in us what's really there. God, let us see ourselves for who we really are. Let us see ourselves for what we're really dealing with. God, let us see what's going on in our life and in our spirit. And then I want to say this. Some of you may be in this room today that desperately need the forgiveness of God. Maybe you need to forgive. Maybe you need to be forgiven. Maybe you desperately need God's forgiveness in your life. Here's the way I want to give this altar call today. I want everybody in this room who's physically able, I want you to get out of your seat and make your way to the front of this room right now. Everybody all over this room. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. Because there's not a person in this house that's not dealing with something that maybe you don't need to release. There's not a person in this house that's not dealing with something that maybe you don't need to put under the blood. There's not a person in this house that doesn't struggle with some things in your life. Are you hearing me? Come on, I'm asking you all over the room, if you're physically able, I'm asking you to come to the front of this room. Forgiveness is not optional. Forgiveness is a must. And I'm going to take you back to the beginning of the message. If you don't forgive others, that's why I restated what I said a while ago, because I stated it the wrong way. But I'm going to say this again. If you don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. You will be judged by the same judgment that you give. And you'll receive the same mercy that you give. It's not my word, His word. I said it's not my word, His word. But let's get real. There's people all throughout this room listening to me right now. Some of you got to forgive somebody. I said some of you got to forgive somebody. But I'm going to talk to somebody else. Some of you need to give forgiveness when somebody comes asking for it. I said, some of you need to give forgiveness when somebody comes asking for it. And then some of you desperately need the forgiveness of God in your life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes all across this room. Father, I'm asking you now. God, as these people have come before you, as they have come into your presence, God, as they've come into this place where you are, I'm asking you, Lord, to meet them where they are today. Forgiveness is a must. Lord, forgiveness is a reality. And Lord, I believe it's not only something, God, that we may be dealing with in this house, God, but Lord, it's something desperately, Lord, is needed to be given throughout this country and throughout the world. Forgiveness. I'm asking you, Lord, to search the heart and the soul and the life of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. I'm asking you, Lord, to reach down to the deepest depths of where they are. And I'm asking you, Lord, to touch them this morning. And God, if there are those that are harboring bitterness, if they're harboring anger, if they're harboring strife in their life, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive it. I'm asking you, Lord, to remove it. I'm asking you, Lord, to deal with their heart. I'm asking you, Lord, to wake them up. I'm asking you, Lord, to let them realize where they are. Let them see what's happening in their life. And I pray, God, right now that your peace and your mercy and your grace will overshadow them and that your love will rise up in them so mightily, God, that no matter who's hurt them, that no matter who's wronged them, that no matter how deep the hurt goes, no matter how broken they feel, God, that somehow they can release it today. And somehow they can move forward and they can move on in you. And God, that one in this room today that needs your saving grace, Lord, that needs your saving mercy, that needs your peace, and needs your power, that needs you, Lord, to break every chain of bondage off of them. I'm asking you, Lord, to save them today and to deliver them in the name of Jesus. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed all across this room, I want to ask you to pour your heart and your soul out to God right now. Only God knows where you are today. Only God knows what you're struggling with today. Only God knows where the hurts and the fear. Only God knows the brokenness. Only God knows how deep the wounds are. Only God knows the things you faced in your life. But right where you stand right now, if you'll open up your heart, your soul, and your mind to God, and you'll pour it out to Him right now, He will break every bond off of you.